On this Father's Day morning, we could do no better than to pay tribute to the Lord God. We want to look at a passage in Scripture that will do that. In Romans 11, verses 33 through 36. You'll get your Bibles out and turn to that passage. We're going to study the truth that's contained in those verses. Romans 11, 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become His counselor? Or who has first given to Him, and it shall be repaid to Him. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. This is a great tribute to God. Along with Psalm 145, this could be the greatest tribute ever given to God. And it's important for us because it refers to Him as He really is, the sovereign God. And it's very necessary and vital to know God as the sovereign one. Not partially sovereign, but totally sovereign. That all things are of Him, through Him, and to Him. And a person who believes in the partial sovereignty of God cannot give Him the highest glory He deserves, because they limit God to human permission and say that God can only do something if we let Him. And that is not the highest glory given to God. Now, this text is interesting because these words of Him, through Him, and to Him hold such great theological truths. The verbs, the prepositions, the nouns in Scripture are all important. Last week we looked at a passage in Habakkuk where the words although and yet were very important and held great theological meaning. He said, although the fig tree doesn't blossom, there's no herds in the stalls, although everything goes wrong, yet I will rejoice in Him. And today we have three prepositions: of, through, and to. And we'll study these words and the theological content. In verse 36, for of Him means from Him. Out of Him means God is the source of all things, the sovereign source of all things, the inexhaustible fountain from whom flows all things. First of all, the creation. Is there a sun? Is there a moon? Are there planets? Is there an earth? It's of God. It's from God. Is there water? Is there air? Is there food? It's of God. It's from God. Are there human beings? It is of God and from God. Is there a flow of history? that is from God and of God. And we can go on and on. They come out of His riches and out of His wisdom and out of His knowledge. All things are of God. And of course, this brings the great discussion and controversy. Does this mean that bad things, catastrophes, tragedies, difficulties, are those also of God? Or is God just the source of the nice things and the good things? Well, that's a heated discussion, even among Christians, in the past and even now. And heated discussions about 9/11. Was God in that or was He not? Was Satan in control of that or was God in that? All things are of Him and from Him. One of the very best discussions or writing I have found is from a book called God's Eternal Good Pleasure by Herman Hoeksema. I want to read something that he wrote, and you have it here on your outline there this morning. If you'll take one of those here from the table, and oh, you have it okay already. And you who are listening by tape, you'll get a copy of this. And this is what he writes about it. All these things are surely of Him, good and bad, it must be admitted. But how can all these things be of Him if not all the rest is also out of Him? Just try to exclude one thing from God's sovereign dominion, and the inevitable end will be that you leave nothing in His almighty hands. And besides, how can anything be unto Him if it were not of Him? Finally, as to the objection that we make God the author of sin and evil, an evil source, if we include sin and the devil, death and hell, in the things that are of Him, let us not forget that things do not emanate from God, but are freely determined by Him in His sovereign counsel. All things do not issue forth from God as water from a fountain. They do not radiate from Him as the light radiates from the sun, but they are sovereignly determined by His eternal will and counsel. There is no sin and evil in God. He is light, and there is no darkness in Him at all. But in order that He might make known His power and glory, He has certainly determined upon the vessels of wrath fitted unto destruction as the sovereign potter. And in order that He might lead all things to greater, to the greatest possible glory in Christ, He has holily willed that even Satan and sin should do their work. And therefore we must insist that all things in this comprehensive sense of the word are of Him. All things are of Him. All things are from Him. And if we don't believe that, then we only have very few alternatives. That would be to believe that there is some other power, some other source, evil power, that overrules God, and God can't control what He's doing. And we can't have that. That is cruel. There's peace in knowing that all things are of God. And otherwise, you have an evil power, or you have accidents, luck, the roll of the dice, things just happen. No, all things are of God, who is not partially sovereign, but totally and completely sovereign. What a tribute to our Heavenly Father that all things are of Him. And the apostle goes on to say that all things are through Him, coming through Him. So we might say that there's nothing can come to our life that has not already gone through God's wisdom and counsel. So to say that all things are through God means that He is the sovereign governor of all things. He is the chief executive in the universe. He is the almighty counselor. God is the ruler, the authority, the operator who makes it all flow all around the world this morning, holding it together. He is the director. He is the supervisor. He is the boss. And He is in control of the flow of history. Internationally, nationally, in our community, in our family, and in us personally. All things are through Him. I don't know anything that could be more comforting to a human soul than to know that and to believe that. I'm thankful that Satan is not in control. I'm thankful that I'm not. And I must say, I'm thankful you're not, because we just could not take care of it. All things are of Him. All things are through Him. And this morning, He is in charge and in control of everything in and around Jerusalem, in and around Washington, D.C., and perhaps even around Sacramento, although we wonder about that sometimes. And right here where we are, all things are of Him and through Him. The apostle goes on to say that all things are to Him. Now, what does that mean? It means that God is the ultimate purpose for all things. Everything flows unto Him. He is the end. All things will ultimately be for His pleasure. We sing, "Thou art worthy, created to all things, and for Thy pleasure they were created." All things will ultimately work for His glory. All things work together for good, for our good, and for His glory. All things point to Him. Our happiness is not the ultimate purpose, not even our salvation, but it is the glory of our God that is the purpose, and that is a great purpose, and that should be our purpose. That is what we should live with day by day and moment by moment, to serve our life here for His glory, and let all things point to Him. our Heavenly Father, all things are of Him and through Him and to Him. That's what is right. There is no possible way that we could give Him glory that He does not deserve. And that's a good feeling in the human heart. So much praise is wasted on undeserving people. Nothing can be wasted on God for His pleasure, for His glory. All things point to Him. Well, how should we respond to these truths? We should then live here and now in adoring praise. The praise of adoration. And when you get alone before God, rehearse His attributes. And it's not that He doesn't already know them, but we get to acknowledge them. And you review His greatness. And the classic attributes of omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and immutability. And the love and the mercy and the grace and the faithfulness. It's like taking a spiritual bath to rehearse God's attributes to Him with adoring praise, which is humble worship. It's interesting to put those two words together. You would think that worship would always be humble, but it is not. Because some worship experiences for some Christians are merely displays of pride and entertainment. Humble worship, where in our heart we say, "To God be the glory." Now the question would be this morning, do we really believe this? All things are of Him, through Him, and to Him. Is that our faith? Is that our life? Is this our doxology? I don't know that this has ever been set to music. Perhaps one of you could do that. Write a song of Him, through Him, to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. That's a doxology. Is this our doxology? And do we agree that this is true? That this is authority, that all things are from Him, through Him, and to Him. Then we can say, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord God Almighty, we thank You for truth. The truth in Your Word, which is really the only truth. And we don't need to be confused about who You are or how to worship You, because You have revealed to us Your glory in Your Word. And this morning our hearts respond to You with adoration, with praise, with sincere worship, seeking to honor You and glorify You in our words and in our life. Thank You for this refreshing, reviving look at Your Word this morning. Use it for Your glory in our lives. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen.